The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this January 4th, 2022. And, boy, we have a lot going on tonight. On the board tonight, we have the mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor Joe and everyone else.
Well, I'm Pastor Ernie. But, Pastor Joe, we have way out yonder in Missouri, that Parson Joe Larson.
Well, good evening. That highly unpaid professional assistant is back one more time.
All righty. You're still kicking, huh?
I'm still kicking.
Okay, well, you know, we're going to get right into the message, but before we do that, we've gotten, first of all, a dear friend of mine, and you might remember Denver Sally, Joe. I don't know if you remember Denver, but Denver was an ardent pro-lifer. His whole life, a real strong. Denver was the fellow that would go around, and he would put up 144 crosses, 144 crosses to represent those babies that were being killed all across the country. And I think that number, 144, was just the amount that were killed here in Ohio in one day, every day, an average. But anyhow, we would put them in our church, and they'd move to another church. Denver was also... with me, he was...
places in Missouri where those crosses still stand.
Yeah. And he...
44 that I know of.
Yeah, he was also, for four terms, he was, as I was president of the Tea Party, he was my vice president. And Denver was a real man who loved the Lord. He really loved the Lord, and he was staunch, and he was one of those who was steadfast. And he went home to be with the Lord last night. And so I just want to say to his lovely bride and his children and his many grandchildren, our most sincere condolences to the family and to the friends of Denver. We're going to miss you, my friend. We're going to miss you. It's been a long time. And then we have some prayer requests. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the prayer requests are coming in. Just we're getting a reputation for praying for people out there, Joe, because, boy, do we get them now. So tonight we have Kim and JT. Kim and JT both have COVID, and they're asking for our prayers. Michael and Brian they are both at the ICU units at Hillcrest Hospital. They're both in very serious condition. They're asking for prayer. So Kim and JT and Michael and Brian, So why don't you, Joe, pray for Kim and JT, and I will pray for Michael and Brian.
Oh, sure, would love to. And I want all the listeners out there to join us, both of us, as we pray. You will all need prayer someday, I guarantee it. And if you help pray for others, then there'll be a lot more reciprocal prayer for you. It's the way God wants his people to be. Heavenly Father, I don't know Kim, I don't know JT, but that doesn't matter because you do. You know everything about them. You know every thought, word, and deed they've ever had, said, done. And they're now down with COVID, and this is one of those things that depending on what variant, what health they're in, how deadly or dangerous it is. And Lord, we would just lift Kim and JT up to you, that you would wrap your loving arms around them. And if it be thy will, just destroy this virus, take it away and heal them. Or just see that they get the proper, the right medical care, the right treatments to handle this disease. Keep them out of the hospital, keep them off out of the death centers, off of the stupid ventilators, and just bring them back to good health and back to their family, friends, and church. And Father, we just put them in your trust. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to hold of Michael and Brian both, and ask, Lord, that you do. You keep them off those respirators, and you keep them away from that poison that they have given these people going to the hospital, that they get actual, maybe hydroxychloroquine or maybe ivermectin, things that actually work, Lord, that they might actually get healed, Father God. So I pray that you hedge them around about, Lord God, and even have angels on their behalf there to watch and make sure, Lord God, that they leave that hospital, Father God, and go home. And, Lord, continue to get well. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That he gets the honor and the glory.
Amen.
What counts.
Yep. Joe, we're going to go back to the message. You remember the title of the message?
Our immutable, irrefutable, undisputable God.
Amen. And so we're going to pick it up where we...
times real fast.
Yeah. Well, we're going to pick it up where we left off in Malachi chapter 3. So I want you to read verses 3 through 14 and then stop. And then we'll do some commentary and then we'll pick it up and do the last verses. But go ahead. But before you do, you know, here we're going to see in this passage, starting with verse 6, that God, not being like men, God is very, very long-suffering. And but God is to the point, you know. He's long-suffering to a point. And he's telling them here, Joe, that he is giving them a chance to repent and to return unto obedience to him, or else be destroyed. He's making it, you know, making it very clear here. And what they're saying is...
He's not stuttering. He's not hinting.
Right.
He's actually telling.
Right. And what they're telling God is, well, you know, God really hasn't done anything for us. God
used to be here, but he left us. He's not here anymore. God's telling them that if they repent, he again would return unto them.
And then he's also telling them here that what happened is Levitical priests, their job was to serve in the temple. And what's happening here... they were to, because they weren't allowed to own land or possess any land, or they had to spend their times, serving in the temple as the priest, the Levitical priest. But what happened, the people were not tithing. And because they weren't tithing, the priests had to go out and take day jobs to be able to support themselves.
Yeah.
And so here, and God is not too happy about that. What's happening, the people decided that they wanted to kind of maybe keep 100% of what they made. Not a good idea. And so go ahead, pick it up in verse 6 and stop through in verse 14.
And not 3, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers. Ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?
Go ahead and read verse 15.
And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered.
So God's telling them here, look, I'm going to show you. Do what I tell you. Go back. And you're obedient to me, and you listen to me like we told you from the start. And I will bless you, and I will bless you in such that you won't have room to keep the blessings. But if you continue, and now what they're saying to God is, hey, look. God, you know, you got us all wrong. Yeah, you got us all wrong. That's what you have. Look, you know, God, we understand. We're woke. You see, we see that you're saying one thing, but doing another. We're hearing what you say, but we're looking at these wicked people. We're seeing how the wicked and how the evil and those wicked people are prospering. Those that don't help the poor, that don't feed the hungry, how they're prospering. So we get it. See, we're going to be like them. We want to prosper. We want those material things. And is it a smart thing to tell God he's got you all wrong?
Not very smart, because, well, you see in verse 11 when he said, I will rebuke the destroyer, he's saying he has kept some things at bay, and I went and looked at, and it's in Amos 4, verse 9, and it says, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer wood worm destroyed them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He will bring some judgment, and he will push the people until they repent and turn to him. And so he's making it quite clear, I can pour out blessings that you don't have room for, or... you know, I don't have to rebuke the destroyer. I can let the destroyer come.
So they answer him back and they say, when he says in verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. And then they say, yeah, you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? In other words, again, these are the people that are trying to tell God, first of all, it's bad enough, okay, that you tell God that he's saying one thing and doing another. That's, where does that come from? You know, that's what we call, right, progressiveness today. It's called progressiveness.
Yeah, exactly.
But
God doesn't know what he's doing. We know better. We're allowed to do this. When
and then,
it becomes evil and evil becomes good.
Right. And then they're telling him, look, what have you done for us? What good does it do us to serve you? We'd rather serve ourselves. And that's not a good thing to say to God. Does that sound like maybe the prosperity church today?
It sounds a great deal like that. We're going to make sure we get all our blessings here and now, and we don't you know, we just ask you to bless us, but we don't want to give you anything in return. We don't want to serve you, obey you, worship you, glorify you. We just want you to bless us.
Joel Osteen says, I want to live the good life now. Get the good life now. Don't wait till you get to heaven, because you may not get there, okay? T.D. Jake said, I want my stuff now. I want my stuff. I don't want any waiting until I get to heaven. I want all my stuff now. And that's not what the Bible says. Place up your crowns and your treasures where?
Treasures, yeah, in heaven, not here on this earth.
No, so what T.D. Jake said, no, I want...
We are pilgrims traveling through this world. It is not our home.
Okay, so...
It's pretty clear.
So now, what are these people doing in the name of God? The Prosperity Church is fleecing the flock in the name of God. The Apostate Church today is flaunting their sin. They flaunt their sin in front of God. You got the United Church of the Antichrist with all their sodomy and their sodomite parades, LGBT, and all of that in there. And so, and here too, you know, they're promoting... Not only do they, but they promote abortion. They promote child killing in the apostate church today. And now, you know, you've got this where they're promoting even the Church of Rome promoting taking the poisonous poke. And I had a number of Catholic people call me and tell me, we're leaving because of what the Pope has done. We're leaving after all these years. The Catholic Church has gone apostate. Well, they started a long, long time ago, okay?
Yeah, it wasn't just some new event, yes.
But so is the World International Council of Churches, too. They're just as bad.
Yeah, and so, I remember when the Roman Catholics said you could you donate enough money to the church and we'll pray your loved one out of hell. I thought that was kind of blasphemy, but, you know, just saying.
Yep. All righty, now... what we're going to do, we're going to start a little early today. I think I'm going to leave it here for tonight, and then we're going to pick up tomorrow because we got a lot of stuff to do tonight. I wanted to say this, that tonight Joe Blystone running for governor, I'm liking what I'm hearing Joe say. Joe's a farmer. He's a businessman, too, and a farmer. And he guess what he said? When they are asking him questions about how he would govern as governor of Ohio, basically, the long and short, he says, just exactly like Governor Ron DeSantis. I would do everything, okay, everything the way Ron DeSantis, and that's the kind of governor we need here in Ohio. We really do need that in Ohio.
That's a pretty bold statement. He's saying, I'm smart enough to look and see what works, what is good for the people of the state, and I intend to go and do likewise.
Absolutely. And like he was saying, look, you can't be wishy-washy. You can't take the advice of the bureaucrats and say, well, you shouldn't say that yet. You shouldn't say this. No, he said, I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to be right straight up front. Okay. And so he's up front.
And for the most part, be pretty plain spoken up front people.
That's exactly what he's doing. So I liked what I heard from Joe Blystone tonight. In fact, the entire Tea Party, out there, when he made that statement that he would be like DeSantis, they roared. I mean, they roared out there tonight. And so he got a very, very warm welcome tonight at the Jog County Tea Party. And so Joe Blystone, I think he'd make a good governor.
You can get him to come on the show and talk to him.
We already did. He was just here with us last week. Okay,
again.
So, yeah, well, that's already planned.
Oh, yeah.
That's already planned. We'll get him back on, and so he's going around, all around the state of Ohio, and he's talking to the people. He's avoiding, like he says, he wants to stay away from the major news, mainstream news, including Fox News. He wants to stay with radio programs like this, the grassroots people. Mm. And so that's good. That's really good. Okay, so, all righty. Joe, I want to do a little commentary before we get going here.
Well, maybe I'll just wait on this commentary, and we'll pick this up tomorrow. You'll be with me tomorrow, okay? Because, you know, I stumbled across this TV program called Paternity Court. Have you ever heard of that?
I think I've heard something like it, yeah.
Well, I'll just say a little bit about. I'll say a little bit about it. I was, you know, when I saw that, I thought, oh, what? I wonder what this is all about. And they had segments. You know, they're all about 8-10 minute segments, and so I watched about about a dozen of these segments, and I saw something in these paternity courts. You know, it used to be, I remember, you know, back when I was growing up, if there was a question about who was the father of a baby, it would usually be this man or this man. But I noticed something in all of these cases, there were anywhere between 3 and 10 men who were possible fathers of the babies.
Wow. And we're talking in a 2 or 3 week window, too, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, anyhow, there you go. And so,
wow.
But here's the other thing I was kind of amazed at. Now, there was a black female judge, and of course I didn't expect that they were going to allow on television anyone with any morals. But I was really surprised. This woman was a lady. This black lady, she was a real lady, and she had morals, Joe. This woman had morals, and I thought, how do they allow a woman who? Like her, because, example, you had the one case, you had this man was fighting. He was in combat in Afghanistan, and he comes home to find out that, first of all, when he came home, you know, when they came off the plane, people were there, relatives, to meet him. They had kind of a little parade for the guys that returned, but he didn't have anybody there for him. And so when he came, instead he finds out his wife, while he was going, decided to be a stripper.
Oh.
And so she became a stripper and a prostitute. She didn't really see anything wrong with that. And so there, that's what gave him some doubts about who, you know, about the children being his.
Yeah, especially if he was gone long enough, he probably pretty sure he wasn't the father.
And this woman, the stripper, she couldn't. She thought that was, you know, she couldn't see anything wrong with being a stripper and a prostitute. Well, the judge, the female judge, she just lambasted her for being that way. How in the world could you do that? What kind of a person could do that? Your husband's over there in combat, and you're out here acting like a whore. And so I was amazed that, you know, here on television, they had somebody with morality. Now, we're going to, I've been telling people for a while, Joe, that we're going to be talking about some things that could be very, very gruesome, in fact, okay? We've been telling you about this. Last night we were talking about how the FBI declassifies files of the CIA's involvement in satanic ritual abuse and child sex trafficking. Now, my old friend Ted Gunderson. Ted was in charge of the FBI for Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, I think Utah. But anyhow, Ted was there for that whole area. And Ted had come and he had stayed with us. And this is when you could hold your head up and say, I'm an agent. I'm an FBI agent and I'm a G-man. And people, you know, there were at that time, you know, people could, you know, take there was integrity there. You had integrity that you were doing your job, you were fighting against crime, and you were fighting against communism. Unfortunately, that's not the FBI we have today. The FBI today no longer fighting communism, they've joined them. And they work against the American people. They've been weaponized against the patriots, against Christians and the patriots. But anyhow, we told you there were some very terrible things going on. We were telling you that there's a lot more to what's happening when these children are being dropped off at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in Florida and other places where they're dropped off, and then they disappear. They disappear. We're telling you about what was happening there in Oklahoma when all of a sudden 60 children just ended up missing, and the Children's Protective Services says, well, you know, we really don't know where, what happened to those children. Maybe they ran away, okay? Well, here, after retiring from the FBI, Ted Gunderson set up a private investigation firm, Ted Gunderson and Associates in Santa Monica. In 1995 conference in Dallas, Gunderson warned the proliferation of a secret satanic groups and the danger posed by the New World Order, a shadow government that controls the U.S. government. Gunderson discovered that in that U.S. there is a secret widespread network of groups. Now here, remember we told you about this, and Ted was with me back in the early and mid-90s, and they kidnapped children and infants and subject them to satanic ritual abuse and subsequent human sacrifice. And folks, we were telling you about this. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're going to play something, and what we're going to play here is what we told you is some pretty horrible stuff, but it's real. And we do the best we can to expose this. One of these groups is called the Finders, which Gunderson said operated by the CIA. He wrote a book, and remember John F. Kennedy said, we have to get rid of the CIA. They need to be disbanded. And he wrote a book on the Finders, which can still be downloaded today. Now, this is the same CIA group that the FBI just disclassified many of the files from their investigation into the Finders. Although many names remain redacted to protect the guilty, Gunderson traveled around the country giving lectures about his work, which included cases that led him to discover hidden names involved with a satanic occult, which included sex abuse and child sacrifice. His general lecture was about 4 hours, and there is one lecture still available today where he condensed it down to just a little over an hour. At the end of this lecture, Gunderson has a woman named Linda Wagan come up and give her testimony and introduced her. Gunderson said, this is one of the most classic examples of corruption I've ever seen, and believe me, you can tell from my lecture that I have seen some pretty awful examples of corruption. Well, we talked about this, and Ted, they killed him. They killed Ted, and he knew they were going to try to, and they finally got him. Okay, but he exposed a lot of those in the deep state. This is the deep state. This is really just a part of the Democratic Communist Party today, the deep state. The Democratic Communist Party is rampant, Joe. It's rampant with child abuse and pedophilia. And so go ahead, Andrew, and play that clip.
I'm going to turn the podium over to Linda Wagan. We have about another 15, 20 minutes, I believe. And Linda's going to talk about her case. This is one of the most classic examples of corruption I have ever seen. And believe me, you can tell from my lecture that I've seen some pretty awful examples of corruption. Go on, Linda. Linda Wagan, my friend, God bless her. She's a fighter.
Thanks. I'm here to tell you I'm a living, breathing example of what happens when a satanic cult abuses your children. And sometimes I put slides above the abuse, but after seeing the slides of the children this morning, I think you understand what this is about. And there's pictures over at the booth right out here. The devil to me, maybe 10 years ago, was something that was, I went to Catholic church, I'm still Catholic and Christian. I went to church and the devil was something out there that you didn't want to talk about at night and, you know, you didn't talk about in the dark, and it was just something in science fiction movies. My children disclosed just sexual abuse in early 1993. They were masturbating. They were pulling their pants down at the supermarket. They started having oral sex with my St. Bernard, inserting pens and pencils into the dog's rectum. The behavior got worse and worse and worse. I woke up one morning. I don't usually talk about this stuff. I woke up one morning to the bread you know, the butcher block that you cut bread on, because I'm a vegetarian, so it wasn't a butcher block. And there was a huge bread knife in the middle of the butcher block with a big pool of ketchup in the middle of it. And that was on my kitchen table. And I said to my children, what is this? Who did this? What does this mean? And my son John said, Mom, this is some of the things that we have to see and that have been done to us. I knew I had a big, big problem, and I had no idea what it was called. I called all over the country. I had children's drawings for the police. My husband was under arrest for sodomy and oral sex with my children. And I had all kinds of drawings that had circles and people with, there was black candles always in the middle of these tables, and all this oral and anal sex pictures. And I went to the Catholic Church and I said, I don't know what this is, but it seems to me these drawings are significant. There are all kinds of symbols I don't understand, and devil heads and goat's heads, and I had no idea what, I did not know what satanic ritual abuse was. Church asked me if I ever had a psychiatric exam. And I said, actually, I'm completely sane. I just know that there's symbols in these pictures. No one would help me, even though there was a prosecution going on. They said, if you ever bring up satanic ritual abuse, your credibility is lost and you'll just be a kook and it doesn't exist and it's not organized in America. Just focus on child sexual abuse. So I took my children to a child sexual abuse hospital. And while they're being treated, and I had legal custody of my children, and my husband and his lawyers and the judge found out my children were in an expert hospital, they confiscated my house, everything I've ever owned, from my baby pictures to my clothes. I walked away with literally the clothes we had on our backs, took my cars, my federal post office box mail, my income, my assets. I lost everything by taking my children to an expert on child abuse. It was trying to stop me from what my children could disclose from being uncovered, to try and just break that we had no assets to have my children have medical attention. The children were being treated for sexual abuse, and I had provided all the documentation. And one day, the doctor said to me, I need you to come into my office. She said, this is a classic case of SRA. I had no idea. I mean, SRA, is that like an Irish Republican Army thing? I don't know what SRA is. She said, satanic ritual abuse. And she showed me the drawings that the children were doing in her office. And they were of blood sacrifice, of people cutting their arms and dripping blood in chalices, of chalices with devil heads, and on and on and on. It includes group sex. It includes children being killed. And I remember I just felt like my guts were just punched out of my body. I did not know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I called every organization in the country asking for help, children's organizations. And no one wants to acknowledge satanic ritual abuse. And all the child abuse organizations only say that they lobby. They don't actually help people. And so my quest to save my children has taken me here. And as a consequence, and I can tell you here today, there are other mothers who are here today to ask me for help who have children that were victims of satanic ritual abuse. And it's really hard for me because I'm only one person and my life has been annihilated, although I have to say it's being rebuilt for the better. But John and Ben, my boys, are 11 and 8. And have lived for 15 or 16 months in the home of a satanic abuser who has been documented as a member of a cult, who 25 people and the state's attorney in Connecticut are investigating and have substantiated sexual abuse and the cult. And yet the governor and no one has been acting to protect my children. So it makes me wonder just how high this goes. But I'll tell you a story about a little boy that affected my life, and I guess it's besides John and Ben, who I always think about and who I want to stop this from ever happening to another child again. I heard a story about a little 8-year-old boy. His mom had taken him to protect him, and they were found, and I had been underground for 3 years, by the way. The mother and this little boy were found. The little boy was taken to a basement. He was crucified alive. First, he was skinned. When they tortured the children, It causes a physical reaction of the endomorphins in your body to just increase because of the terror and the pain. So when the Satanists drink the blood, they actually get like a chemical, a high, like a drug high from the blood of a tortured victim. And this little boy was found in the basement dead, with no blood, skinned alive and crucified. This cannot happen to any more children. I can't do it alone. My children are there. It's really hard. I need each one of you to know this is not a fairy tale. This is not something out of science fiction. I was a mom who ran a charity and baked oatmeal cookies for my kids. And because my children are victims, I have to stand here and I have to tell you these horrible stories. And I could tell them all day and all night, because both Ted and I get letters and calls for people begging for help all over the country right now. And the only way we can help them is to help save John and Ben first, set the precedence. We will not tolerate this anymore, not only to the children, but to our own lives. And we will not tolerate this. We must stand together. And I ask you to please, especially prayer and donations and letters, and help me save John and Ben. And then the rest of us are forming a task force to go around the country and start saving everybody else. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Folks, thanks for very much. Any of you have any questions? I guess there's no microphones up here, but go ahead, Renee. Just come down here in front and yell at me. It's immediately behind this curtain on the left, and if you can just go put a few dollars in the basket there, it'll help. What we have now is we have a team of investigators organized in Connecticut. Many of them are working on a voluntary basis. Some are charging a minimal amount, the discount rate. We have attorney fees. We have filing fees to file the civil rights federal violation case against the four judges, and the state of Connecticut, which was filed here about 10 days ago, cost us $1,000. We served the four judges, two attorneys, and the governor with letters just about 2 days ago telling them unless they release the oldest boy back to Linda. By the way, this boy is not the biological son of the ex-husband. He never adopted this child. Unless they release this child back, we're going to file criminal felony charges against the judges and the governor and others in the state of Connecticut. And we're not kidding. We're going to do it, okay? We have been working with a friend of mine. I brought him into the case, Jack Firm, a paralegal, Las Vegas. And he's probably one of the most brilliant men I've ever known. He's doing circles around these attorneys who have taken thousands of dollars, by the way. And he is really responsible for what's happening today more than anybody else. We're all a team, but still he's the one main man in the arena as far as the law is concerned. Any other questions that we have? Yes, come on up to the microphone, please. Come to the microphone, because they need to get this recorded.
We listen to your stories, and we wonder if this happens to us or our family or anything. Where would you go, and who would you go to? You quit the FBI. Terry Reid quit, and you implied that the governor, right on down, and the president, and all are crooked at the dog's hind leg. Who would you talk to if you had a problem tomorrow?
Who would you talk to if you had a problem tomorrow? Give me a call. I help as all the best I can. I have a network of people that can probably help you. I have a number of people contact me over the last several years, and I refer them to other experts. And we'll have to take each case at a time, but if we can help you, just give us a call. I have a flyer out here. It's got my phone number on it.
No, I'm referring to something happens here in Denver. I need help. Do I call the police? Do I call the governor? Who do I call? If they're all crooked, as you implied, and I believe you, you go to them and they draw a line and say, we're not going to investigate. What do you do?
Well, that's why I'm saying call me. Because we have the network of people, and we're in the process of forming a foundation. And we're going to be seeking some money to finance it. And as Linda said, we're going to have a task force that will go around the country and handle these problems. We're probably going to be busier than the one-armed paper hanger. Just give us a call. We'll do what we can to help you. We'll try to help you. Can you go to the police? Yes. Go to the police. Make a matter of record. What I suggest you do with the police is go talk to them personally, and then go back and write a letter, confirm your conversation, send it registered mail so you have it on record. Anybody you talk to in these type cases, make sure you have it a matter of record. Certified mail. Yes, question.
Yes, will you name public profile figures that were suspects out in the California case? You know, the people that were named by the children? Can you do that?
No, I can't name them because I can't prove it. All I can tell you is what the kids said. And the kids, they basically have said that the children were not credible. And I think if I said anything, I'd be open myself to a lawsuit. I'm not afraid. If I could name them without being sued, I would. But believe me, they are very prominent people. They're household words.
What elements of possible satanic abuse do you see in the JonBenet case?
Interesting question. What elements of possible satanic activity do I see in the Benet case? I can't prove it. From the day that case broke in the news until today, I see signs of it, indications of it. The tourniquet around the little girl's neck, one of the practices that they have in their mind control activity and is to take a child right up near death and then bring them back from close to death. I would suspect that that's a possibility here, that they took this child too far and the child passed away. I don't know again, but I'm saying based on my experience and expertise, good possibility of that. I'd say there's a good possibility that, in fact, I'm confident that the family knows much more than what they're telling. The fact that they were not cooperative for a number of months would indicate that. My instincts tell me that. I would have to say she was probably a victim of a pedophile operation or a pedophile ring, which dovetails into Satanism and cult activity. Any other questions? Well, thanks, folks. I enjoyed appearing before you, and I hope you learned something. Go buy some of my research and make copies and pass it out. Education.
And you're in front of a camera.
Ted Gunderson. That was from 1995. We covered all of that. Now, Ted uncovered there in Florida. He uncovered in his daycare center where there was tunnels. Well, there's this huge underground tunnel coming through the daycare where they were taking these kids during the day, and they were molesting them. Now,
right. That was in the news. That made headlines all over the country.
Yeah, well, here's something else that's in the news, but it doesn't not making headlines all over the country, and that is, this is from The Humans Are Free, and a whopping 25 cops in a single county arrested in 2021 from child rape to bestiality. This article only goes back last week. This came out last week, December 27th. San Antonio, Texas, cops in Bexar, B-E-X-A-R County, are notoriously corrupt, and their constant coverage in the news is evident of this corruption. In fact, it was cops from the infamous Bexar County who shot and killed 6-year-old Cameron Prescott and faced no consequences despite their constant negative coverage in the media. Bexar County law enforcement continues to get worse. And he goes on to say, according to a report this week out of KSAT, arrests of cops from Bexar County are up 20% since last year. And I'm looking at these police, and some of them are women. A whopping 25 cops have been arrested in the county since the beginning of the year, both from the Bexar County Sheriff's Office and the San Antonio Police Department. While the arrest of 20 officers was shocking in 2020, the fact that they've managed to get worse is mind-blowing. According to the report, some of the charges are minor, like a DUI or inappropriate behavior at the jail. However, other charges include aggravated battery, sexual assault, and child pornography. TFTP has reported on several of the cops in the now infamous Bexar County. San Antonio Police Officer Eric Rodriguez is accused of being a particularly bad cop and has a rap sheet a mile long to prove it. We reported on Rodriguez in January after he was arrested on a misuse of official information charge. 1 week later, he was arrested again, this time for bribery. And then the following week, this cop was arrested one more time on charges of possession of child porn and bestiality. According to prosecutors, after he was arrested for bribery and manipulating evidence, Rodriguez was found in possession of child sexual exploitation material. He was charged for possession of the content, which apparently depicted a child engaging in sexual conduct, namely with sexual bestiality. Then goes on and on and names these other officers. Desi Rios and a number of them were facing charges for bestiality and pedophilia and so on and so forth. But, I mean, it's pretty rampant today. Now, you know, here...
It was 25 either police or sheriff's deputies there between San Antonio and Bexar County.
Yep.
Wow. Sure didn't make national news, did it?
No, it made local news there in Texas. Okay.
Local news only.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Judge, you see, again, a lot of this stuff now, you know, we support the police. You know, I we're big supporters of police,
right?
Because the vast majority of them are honorable people, okay? And it used to be that way with the FBI, too. But here, you know, what's happened with the attacks on the police, a lot of the times the police have become, you know, what the heck? You know, they're being attacked. We do a job. Why should we do a job with these people? We can't trust them. They don't have our back. And they just become corrupt as the politicians. And so, but anyhow, here's good news. Here's some good news from LifeSite News. LifeSite News. Judge rules Navy SEALs can refuse vaccine. No COVID-19 exception to the First Amendment. There is no military exclusion from our Constitution, is what the judge rules. You see, you know what that does, don't you, with what they're doing? That leaves the Pentagon, that leaves Mr. Milley and the treasonous Austin and Milley open for lawsuits. And so, Fort Worth, Texas, a U.S. district judge has granted members of the Navy SEALs a preliminary injunction on the Navy SEALs' mandate to obtain experimental COVID-19 vaccine. The Navy SEALs serve as members in this case to vindicate the very freedoms they have sacrificed so much to protect, wrote Judge Reed O'Connor, who was nominated by President George W. Bush in order from the Fort Worth U.S. District Court. The COVID-19 pandemic provides the government to no license to abrogate those freedoms. There is no COVID exception to the First Amendment. There is no military exclusion from our Constitution. There you go. Praise the good Lord for some good news, huh?
Right. Well, their exemption was they cited opposition to the use of aborted fetal cell lines in the development, manufacturing of the vaccines, and their belief that modifying one's body is an affront to the Creator. Judge went along with that, and he said the plaintiffs carried out their jobs during the pandemic, and prior to the mandate, at least six plaintiffs conducted large-scale training, led courses without any incident. So great, great news on our front.
Very good. Now, speaking of what you just said about the cells of aborted babies, okay, I don't want to use that word fetus because...
Fetus, yeah, well, I was quoting, trying to read the judge, yeah.
But here, major hospital just admitted that common popular painkiller drugs are developed using cells from aborted babies. And so here, in arguing for and against vaccines, leftists change their stories so often, they can't keep up with their version of the truth. They have no version of the truth. They're supposed to remember it at any given time. Take the use of stem cells from aborted babies for the development of vaccines and other medicines. On one hand, the left tries to hide and deny the stem cells from aborted babies. See, in this article, they use the word fetal. I'm not going there, okay? And are used in medical research and development as a way to trick Christians and others who object to the overall concept of aborted babies' stem cells in their medicine. And as they call it, a way to advance science, yeah.
Did they give any names of any of the drugs?
Well, I'm not down there yet. Well, here, I could jump ahead. According to the Western Journal, a growing number of employees at Conway Regional Hospital are pushing back against a mandate to take the COVID-19 vaccine, even though because it's not a vaccine. Hospital administration who have no patient contact, wouldn't even have a job if it weren't for the doctors and the nurses and the medical support staff that make a hospital run, that are mandating the shots despite the science behind the vaccines indicating they are nowhere near safe or effective. And, you know, so people, you see that? Look at that. That's called common sense, Joe. It's called common sense. There's still some common sense left, right? And here you have this. Isn't it something when the vast, more than any other group of professionals, doctors and nurses, refuse the vax? Shouldn't that tell you something right there?
It should tell you a great deal. But, you know, again, just like with this story, the lamestream media, there's so much they don't want to put out there on the news. In fact, this Navy SEAL story, I went and looked.
Well, before you go any farther, let me do this. You asked for some names of some of these.
Yeah.
According to this, the form requires those employees who commit to refraining from everyday medicines such as Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, Ibuprofen, Benadryl, and Claritin, among others. And the form say these medicines have also used the cells from aborted babies during their development, so employees must not take them in order to support your claim of sincerely held religious beliefs. Huh. I want to keep this.
Yeah, Tylenol, ibuprofen, and what else?
Pepto-Bismol, ibuprofen, Tylenol, Benadryl, Claritin, and that's awesome. I'm coming up to a break here, so.
Yeah,
I'm going to get this because I'm going to have 50 people call me tomorrow wanting a copy of this article.
We're going to have to send that out in the newsletter.
And so, in fact, I'm going to put a little tag on it right now, and because, like I said, we'll have people calling left and right tomorrow for this. So, we're coming up to a break, and we will be back right after this. With a whole lot more. I mean, we have a whole lot more, so do not go away. Be right back. After this, just watch. You'll see. You can trust me.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.